All right, good morning. Coming up on 810 here on the Mighty 690. It's a 37 degrees out there right now, and in fact, we're going to have a decently warm day today. We're joined in studio by Charles and Gary Skank. Good morning, fellows.
Good morning.
Good morning. What is our verse of the day?
It is Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Philippians 4:19.
All right. Thank you, Charles, for that. So how has your guys' week been so far as we we're getting close to the end of January. Can you believe it?
It is.
Crazy.
1 month down almost. It's been a good week for me.
Yeah. I took Ruth, my wife, over to get an infusion yesterday at Joplin, and she has got on a cholesterol medication that's kind of cool. She got an infusion yesterday, and she'll get another infusion in April, and then she'll get an infusion in October, which is 6 months after April, and then she'll get an infusion every 6 months, and it's supposed to work great for cholesterol.
Oh, that's great to be able to, and that's fairly infrequent, you know, so you can that's awesome that it doesn't take, you know, doesn't take long, I'm sure, and then you're good to go.
And the nice part about doing that in a doctor's office, it comes under Part B of Medicare rather than Part D of Medicare.
Yeah.
And so if your doctor prescribes that and Medicare pays for it, if you're on original Medicare, you're not going to pay very much for that service. And the doctor says it works great.
Good.
So that's kind of cool.
That's really excellent.
It's cool.
So what else is on your guys' mind this week?
So Dad and I have been thinking, and one common problem that we find is when it comes to naming beneficiaries. One of our jobs is to help people as they come into retirement out of the workplace, and they have their nest egg, they have what they've been accumulating to fund their retirement, and as they roll it from a 401k to an IRA, one of the questions we always go over is talking about beneficiaries. And sometimes in that conversation, people can sort of tense up.
Yeah, and they'll say, "Just name my oldest child. They'll take care of everything."
Yeah,
and I think that the parents mean well, but they're putting a ton of responsibility on that oldest child.
Oh, sure,
a ton of responsibility that don't need to be there, because if the parents want to treat all the children alike, name all of the children. If there's 10 of them, name them. It's not a big deal, because we'll get the form, we'll fill it out, and at the time of claim, the company deals with each individually equally.
Okay.
And that oldest child don't have anything to say about it. He just gets his share, and everybody gets their share.
Sure, because, you know, we're trying to avoid that, you know, tensions, and, you know, it's already a hard enough time, and something people don't like to think about necessarily. They're just like, oh, just, you know, do something.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people put off all of that planning, mm-hmm. because they just don't want to think about it.
Sure.
Just, they're going to live forever. Well, yeah. They don't.
Exactly.
We don't. Look at your family tree. Most of it's in the ground.
Sure.
Not very much of it sticking out of the ground.
Exactly. And so that's something that you know, it can be, I'm sure, a difficult conversation sometimes to have. And, you know, some people are, you know, maybe more proactive than others that you see, you know, come into the office.
Right.
So in that situation, you're making that oldest child or whichever child you choose sort of the bad guy that has to decide, you know, who gets what. But if you decide yourself the percentages for your children, then the insurance company is the bad guy, in so to speak. Mm-hmm. And they say, well, here's what it says, and they're going to live by that, and the child that's supposed to get what they designate will receive it.
Now, is this beneficiary statement, like, is this going to, is this separate from a will? Like, how exactly does this, what paperwork are we looking at?
So, a beneficiary on a life insurance or a 401k or a retirement plan or IRA or a transfer on death on a land deed or a pay on death at a bank, none of that goes through a will.
Okay.
None of that goes through a will. And if you don't have a will, or no, I'm sorry. So if you name your estate, if you name your estate instead of your three kids, for example, then it's going to go to court and have to be probated. But if you name your three kids, the will has no power over it at all. None. And so there's less cost that way of transferring money also to the next generation by naming the right, by doing the right planning.
So another mistake that people make with beneficiaries, the biggest mistake is not having a beneficiary. And you might say, what happens in that situation? It goes to the estate of the person that dies, and then they have to go to court, go through probate, and figure out, okay, we don't have a beneficiary. They probably don't have a will. If they don't have a will, then they've got to figure out, okay, who's maybe the spouse or next of kin, children. They've got to find those things. And so that's a big mistake not to have a beneficiary.
Well, and I assume there's probably some court costs if you're going to court. Right?
Yeah, yes. That would be expensive.
Yes.
Yeah, not to have a beneficiary.
So we had a little old lady that my wife had quite a bit of interaction with in a former job. And she was trying to help this lady. And she had this little account under $1,000. And whoever set it up for her, it wasn't us, it was somebody else, it wasn't us at all. But they didn't name a beneficiary at all. And so when she dies, nobody can do anything with it. I mean, there's going to be some,
what happens to the money,
I don't know whatever happened to it.
Yeah.
But all I'm saying is, we have been very intent and very concerned about naming beneficiaries. Because if something happens to mom and dad, where's this money going?
Sure.
And if something happens to you, where's this money going? And we want to name not only one person, but we want to name others if at all possible. We want to name somebody.
And that leads to another mistake that people make is not having a contingent beneficiary. So many times in a situation we'll have a husband and wife, and if it's on his money, he wants his wife to be the beneficiary. But and that's all they name. But if something happens to both of them, then where does it go to? And they say, well, we really don't want to sort that out, because that can feel a little complicated.
And sure.
Maybe this child maybe needs more, or they want to give more here, or they want to divide it up different ways, but they haven't decided on it. And so it's a good idea to always have a contingent beneficiary that's in line in case your primary beneficiary is no longer around.
Especially true with second marriages. I have seen places where, the spouses are in harmony, it seems like, and never seen anything different but harmony. And when one of them dies, all of a sudden blood runs a lot thicker than water.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the surviving spouse is going to direct that money a lot of times, not every time, but a lot of times to her own children. And so if you want to take care of your spouse as long as she lives, you got to set it up so that that happens, and then the remainder can go to your kids after she's done with it. You just
have to think about, take all those things in consideration in your planning of your children, your spouse, and how you want everything to be received.
And there's so many uncertainties. We don't know. You don't know. I mean, we may not get back to the office today. You know, we don't know. But it's hard to plan for.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You can't plan for everything.
Yeah, if you want to make God laugh, you can tell him your plans.
Yes, exactly right.
So we are talking about common mistakes made concerning beneficiaries. Anything else that you see as, you know, people come into the office, that sort of thing?
Another mistake that people can make is naming a minor as a beneficiary and naming somebody under 18. And a company cannot give a minor or a child here's your inheritance. Your dad has left you this money.
Yeah.
And little Johnny gets a check.
Uh-huh.
That's just not going to happen. They can't do that. And so they have to find a guardian court-appointed guardian to take that
responsibility,
right,
for that child, on behalf of that child.
And so some people might have good intentions by naming a child or a grandchild as their beneficiary, but if they're a minor, they're not going to be able to receive it. It's going to go to somebody else anyway. So it's better to be thinking about who is that person that's going to look for this child's best interest.
Do you want to pick your guardian for your child, or do you want the court
to
pick the guardian for your child?
Exactly.
Okay, so if you want to pick the guardian for your child, now is your opportunity. If you just name your minor child, the court gets to pick that guardian.
And this is not, like, this little bit of planning, this is not hard. I mean, you guys deal with this all the time, right?
Yeah.
And so how does someone, if they want to just take care of this, how do they do that?
Well, they just need to do some planning.
Uh-huh.
And we help people do this all the time.
And these plans are not written in stone,
okay,
meaning that you set up something now and a child dies or you get a divorce or whatever. The beneficiaries can change. It's a matter of you own the account, you control the account, and you can change the beneficiaries. So it's not written in stone. It's a matter of setting it up for what it looks like now, and if something happens to whatever and things change, then we can reevaluate it.
Okay.
That's right. Yeah. That's
and
good.
So it's get a hold of us and talk to us.
Anything else on this topic, Charles?
Lastly is if you have somebody that's special needs in your family that you want to consider in your will, you want to include them, you don't want to exclude them, but if they, you know, a lot of times they're maybe on Medicaid or have some kind of special benefits, and it's very possible that an inheritance could disrupt their benefits or interrupt what the coverage that they have with their Medicaid or whatever. So it's a good idea to take that into consideration. And this is an area where you maybe need to talk to a lawyer. They have a special needs trust where you can designate money to go for a special needs person that has special needs, but it won't disrupt their Medicaid. You need to talk to a lawyer about that. But all these other things are really just common sense ways to think ahead and to take the stress and strain as much as possible off of your, you know, loved ones as they try to move on after your passing. And so call our office, 620-331-8800, and we can help sit down and look at a plan, and look at your plan, and how maybe we can better improve it.
Sure. No, that's a really good opportunity. And like you said, it's not something we really want to think about, but it's really important.
Very important.
Yeah.
You've worked hard, and the distribution of what you have needs to be diligently planned for, just like you've worked diligently all your life to gather what you have. And it's important for your children and grandchildren to have a harmonious family once you're gone. And that can happen with proper planning, more likely to happen with proper planning.
That's a great point. Why don't we take a quick break? We'll return with more on our Ask the Expert segment here on the Mighty 690. Back here on our Ask the Expert segment with Charles and Gary Skank, and just talking a little bit more about some common mistakes that are made concerning beneficiaries and how kind of all this works. Now, I guess my question would be, you know, is this actually putting someone's name on an account, or like how does this all work, like the mechanics of it?
I'm glad you asked, because, James, we're not talking about naming another owner on the account or another. We're just talking about naming a beneficiary or a pay on death or a transfer on death that occurs when the owner is deceased. And so your beneficiary, your transfer on death person, or your pay on death person has no power over your account. Now, you could put somebody on your account to sign checks, but they still don't own the account. They could sign a check, but they don't own the account. And so we're just talking about trying to get the right beneficiaries in place to come into play whenever something happens to you.
Gotcha. No, that makes sense. And two, I guess another just kind of question, when the beneficiary money is, I guess, distributed, do you have to pay taxes on that?
Well, it all depends on what kind of an account it is.
Okay, okay.
If it's life insurance is delivered tax-free. There's no taxes on life insurance. On a 401k, IRA money, yes, it's going to be taxable, but that can be taken out over time to help mitigate some of those taxes. There can be some planning done to help, so that's not a big lump sum, possibly.
Okay.
But yeah, on an IRA, 401k, depends on the account.
Gotcha.
Whether there's taxes or not.
No.
But on life insurance, no taxes. And on certain annuities, it's been funded with tax money that's already been taxed. There's no taxes on that money except for the interest, if there's interest tax deferred in that account. So getting too deep.
Sure. Well, I just find it interesting. So, of course, you guys are always available for, you know, answering those questions. And two, we've got some events coming up that people should know about as well, right?
That's right. On next Wednesday, the 1st, we have a Medicare 101 at Dickie's Barbecue at 11:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. We want to welcome everybody. If you know somebody that's new to Medicare, or they're new to retirement and they're going on Medicare from their employer coverage, or somebody that just wants to know more about Medicare, I want to encourage you to call our office, 620-331-8800, and RSVP. We'll be happy to have you attend, enjoy a meal, and get some education on Medicare. Christy Ewing is going to be doing those sessions. We also have a Medicare 101 here in Coffeyville at Gigi's. It used to be Lanning's. On 11:30 at a.m. on Wednesday as well. So
that's
Jason,
February the 1st.
That's right. Jason Owens is going to be conducting that one as well. So if anybody that you know has questions about Medicare, or you yourself, call and we'll put you on the schedule.
That's great.
So one thing I want to say is, you know, maybe your mom is calling you and saying, I don't know what's going on with my health coverage.
Uh-huh.
I get these phone calls, and I have no clue what's going on. Well, we can help you. We can help you. And if she's open to you being able to help her, we can help you to understand what she's got and what she's dealing with and get you kind of going in the right direction. Because this can be very confusing. This can be very confusing for people, but we will help. And if you have a neighbor, you have a parent, somebody that needs help, let us know.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because so many people are out there and they don't have time to dig into all this. I mean, it's just like a full-time job trying to keep up with some of this. So that's a really good point. So if people have any questions on anything we've talked about today, where can we find you?
We're at 2801 West Main, Suite A, right there in Independence. Our number is 620-331-8800. And we also have offices in Howard, Sedan, and Coffeyville.
Excellent. Well, Charles and Gary Skank, always a pleasure to have you in, and I look forward to chatting again on Monday.
Thank you,
James.
All right, and we'll be back with an early bird edition of Open Line coming up here on the Mighty 690.